Thank you for downloading this program from the BBC. This program is part of World War One on the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/ww1.
The Grand Duchess Anastasia gave me a boisterous welcome.
The 22nd of July.
Do you realize that we're passing through historic days? Fateful days.
In St. Petersburg, the French ambassador attends yet another banquet in honor of his president's state visit to Russia. The influential duchesses, close confidants of the Tsarina, are great enthusiasts for the alliance with France. As the champagne flows, the Duchess Anastasia grows more indiscreet.
There's going to be war. There'll be nothing left of Austria. You're going to get back Alsace and Lorraine, and our armies will meet in Berlin. Germany will be destroyed. But I must restrain myself. The Tsar has his eye on me.
The Tsar is more cautious by nature, but he's spending a lot of time deep in conversation with President Poincaré, who wants his ally to act like a great power. Both men know the time is fast approaching when Russia will have to decide whether to protect Serbia against Austria-Hungary or leave it to its fate.
Call Joseph Caillou, said the judge. He came in with a step that was almost jaunty. He was dressed with fastidious care. His morning coat was of perfect cut and the crease in his trousers was immaculate. For a moment, he stood there square-shouldered and upright in a combative way, as though he knew he was going to fight.
Monsieur Caillou, a former French Prime Minister and until recently Finance Minister, now takes the witness stand. His wife is on trial for the murder of the editor of Le Figaro, who was threatening to expose him. Caillou is a controversial and divisive figure, partly because he wants to increase taxes, but also because he advocates friendship between Germany and France. He is fighting for his own reputation as well as for his wife.
If there is one thing of which I accuse myself before the jury, it is not to have been sufficiently watchful at home, not to have seen the mental havoc wrought by the Figaro campaign on my wife.
My darling, top secret. The conference is in extremis.
Winston Churchill, the First Lord of the Admiralty, writes to his wife about the Buckingham Palace conference on Irish Home Rule. It's not looking good.
Carsten and Redmond are both just friendly and most hopeless.
Sir Edward Carsten and his fellow Ulstermen insist that the northern counties remain British. Their opponents, John Redmond and John Dillon, are under pressure to deliver Home Rule for the whole island. As the conference ends for the day, the Nationalists get support from an unexpected quarter.
On leaving the palace, Redmond and Dillon were followed by a cheering crowd, and as they passed the barracks, the soldiers of the Irish Guards ran out, waving and cheering in a very remarkable demonstration. This will make Europe take unfavorable views of the British situation.
Who has the larger share of pleasure out of life? The wife or the husband?
The Daily Mirror has set off a discussion about whether housewives now have too much leisure.
The afternoon and evening are almost solely devoted to ease and pleasure. You'll generally find her smoking cigarettes on the drawing room couch or gossiping over the garden wall with a neighbour.
But one dissenter describes a city man's working day.
8 a.m. Breakfast with his family, in silence over his newspaper. 8:30. Cigar and more newspaper. 9:40, catches train, plays cards till he reaches town. 1 p.m, lunch followed by coffee, cigar, and a mild flirtation with a waitress. 5 p.m, tea and toast at a tea shop. Flirtation number 2, and a glance at the evening paper. 6:30, more card playing during train journey. 7:30, home and dinner. Another cigar.
After a century of progress and prosperity, with relatively little war, Europeans have grown accustomed to the pleasures of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Explore World War One on the BBC through our in-depth, interactive online content. Curated by experts and reporters including Ian McMillan, Kate Ady and Frank Gardner, each guide blends documentary, discussion and short films to take you through some of the key issues, from life in the trenches to poetry, propaganda and the role of women. To discover compelling new perspectives on the war that changed everything, go to bbc.co.uk/ww1.